I'll start with a bit of an apology to those from Calvary Memorial. I'm not sure what Lillian preached on last week, but if it's this scripture from Luke, then you've bought yourself a few couple of quiet minutes. No? Awesome! Excellent. And if not, it'll just go in a different direction, so. And I'll let you know, this is your warning, if you follow like lectionary sources in terms of reading and reflection, we're going to be behind for about a month. Well, all month anyway. We're going to do, this week's scripture was actually last week's and all that until the end of July, because the end of July is on prayer. And when I wanted to look at unusual spiritual practices for the month of July, prayer just seems too easy. Prayer is one of those things that, like meditation or giving or forgiveness, that they're the go-to practices of people of faith. And when you want to deepen your life or find some more meaning in your life, prayer is one of those things that allows us, or is at least is one of those things that our grandmother might have asked, are you saying your prayers at night? Just to check in with us to see if we're on the right path. So I wanted to look at topics that might not seem particularly Christian or even spiritual, but which lead us deeper into this life and meaning in it. And so today I'm going to look at purpose. Next week, simplicity, compassion the week after, and presence the last week. But a teacher is asking their students what they want to be when they grow up. How about you, Johnny? Says the teacher. What do you want to be when you grow up? Johnny says, I want to be the CEO of a multi-billion dollar tech company, just like my father. The teacher says, wow, that's absolutely wonderful. I didn't know your father was the CEO of a tech company. Johnny says, he's not, but he wants to be. Better pointed from a comedian says that adults are always asking little kids what they want to be when they grow up because they're looking for ideas. At a young age, we ask children what they want to be, and that question has less to do with personhood and identity and purpose than it does about their job that they're going to do. But as many of us know, the jobs we do and the purpose for being don't always overlap. But I think the comedian is right. We're looking to kids for ideas because as we grow, we have a deeper awareness of the more existential question of purpose. Why are we here? Countless self-help books, Rick Warren's best-selling Purpose-Driven Life, all of these help us answer or try to get at the same answer to that question. If we read Ecclesiastes 3, it says that there's nothing better than for us to be happy, do good, and eat and drink and take pleasure in our work, that these are all gifts from God. That's not bad. Enjoy what you do, eat and drink. God says a good party's all right. But we know that in our quest for happiness, even those can be spelled out too far, right? Seeking happiness can lead ourselves to overwork, overeating, overindulging in a quest for filling a hole for meaning in our lives. If we read Isaiah 43, it says we're made to praise God, which doesn't mean that church is going to run long today, but that your being has more to do about celebrating the divine in and with you. Again, that can be extrapolated out to the nth degree, and you can be one of those annoying one-dimensional Christians. I apologize if you're sitting in a pew. That just seems inexplicably and impossibly joyous all the time. Even God took a day off. Even Jesus went away to pray quietly. I don't understand those Christians. if we read the opening to the beginning of Mark, which is the one sermon I preach over and over and over and again. So if you've heard this, let your eyes glaze over a little bit. The words of blessing rest on Jesus after his baptism, and a voice from heaven says, "You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And this blessing of purpose echoes in our own ears when we sing our hymns like the one we're going to close with today, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky," that talks about our own blessedness and call. We, like Jesus, are free from the fears of self-doubt and unworthiness to embrace our own purpose. And it's why I think purpose has more to do with liberation than it does with pleasing either ourselves or God. When we fail to live up to our purpose, we have situations like that which face our First Nations youth. The suicide rates for teens and young adults is absolutely terrifying. Couple that with the murdered and missing, and it doesn't leave a community, a culture, a people with an abundance of hope. First Nations youth struggle to come out from under the prejudice and hatred that's aimed at this entire people. One article quoted one youth that's saying, "People call us freeloaders. They call us dirty Indians. I'm judged because of my culture and heritage." It's like the exact opposite story of Christ's baptism. The complete reversal of that baptismal benediction, cursing youth before they're even born. Reversing and turning around a situation like that means, as a community, both you and I and them, working together to free our lives from the unhealthy histories that have set up this struggle, this cloud, this burden, before someone could even live into a purpose. Restoring that blessing should be the work of all of us. And it should become liberating for them and us. That's where we jump into this scripture from the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus is starting to understand his purpose. He is starting to see the clouds in his own society that need liberation, that need a restoration of justice. After baptism and temptation and healing and feeding, the disciples become wise to who Jesus is. That doesn't mean they understand him fully, but they start to comprehend that he's similar to Moses and Elijah. Jesus becomes determined or more sure of himself or more sure of his purpose. And it says in the scripture that he turns his face towards Jerusalem. It becomes a tipping point, if you had to divide his ministry in two, a tipping point between the kind and compassionate Jesus that we preach on every single week and the activist Jesus, who overturned tables and confronted broken systems and eventually died because of state-sanctioned violence and oppression.
Hi, Hannah.
Tipping that balance is tough. Explaining that balance to Hannah is even tougher. And it is. It's so tough. Does anybody remember Sunday school? I mean, we like to talk about Jesus feeding and healing and taking care of people, but if you skip that Passion Week, you think it's all glory. And yet this is what that scripture that rests as the teeter-totter, trying to hold the two in tension. And Jesus, in the scripture, in tipping closer to justice, draws a hard line for discipleship. Several disciples say that they want to follow once they get their lives in order. Jesus' response, let the dead bury their own dead. Those who put their hand on the plow, turn their back, and all of that lovely stuff that reminds us that this isn't supposed to be easy. Jesus setting his face towards Jerusalem is living into his purpose, and it's less about fulfillment than it is about enactment, acting upon the gifts and purposes that he was gifted and that we too are gifted with. purpose becomes liberating for Jesus because it frees him from the expectation of others and allows him to be a liberating force for others. His purpose is lived out in and through the people of Jerusalem, and it's why this scripture is what sets us on our path for spiritual practices for the next month. Purpose comes in many shapes and forms, and it's good that we talk about it with kids, but we stop talking about it when we get a little bit older. We start to think that our jobs and our being are all mixed in together and that we're living out our calling as we're washing floors and all of that. But finding that purpose is often as important as reminding the kids that whatever we do, we need to do in love. Discerning that purpose is hidden among stories that we read in Scripture and in our day-to-day life. Has anybody seen Toy Story 4 yet? Awesome. I almost skipped worship just to watch it again. Anyway, so the latest installment of Toy Story, yes, it looks like a kid's movie, but all kids' movies have deep and profound, most kids' movies have deep and profound meaning behind them. So if you aren't aware of the movie, very quickly, it's about toys. And the toys come to life when the kids leave the room. And these toys talk about what's important and what's holy and what's sacred to them, especially as they find meaning and purpose of being toys of their kid, their child. So in the first three movies, Andy has Woody, the ragdoll cowboy, and Buzz Lightyear, the spaceman. And so the first three movies, the first movie is essentially them fighting over dominance of who's more important. And the second movie and the third movie all play out. At the end of the third movie, Andy is now a college-age child, youth, teen, who realizes he doesn't need his toys anymore. So he boxes them all up, and with the soaking wet Kleenexes in my seat, I watched as all the toys are given away to the next kid. I cry in all the Toy Stories anyway. I cried in this one too. So, at the beginning of the fourth movie of Toy Story, the toys have a new child. Yet Woody is struggling to discern his new purpose, his purpose with this new life and new friends. No longer is he in charge of the toys or even responsible for his child's happiness. Woody's journey is one of discernment and trying to figure out what it means to be a person in amongst their responsibilities and their duties, in amongst their job and their being, their reason for being. It's a fascinating story because the purpose thread comes all the way through the movie. There's Woody's journey. Alongside him is Forky. So Forky is a rescued spork from the garbage. And the little girl, Bonnie, who has now inherited Woody and all his friends, created Forky as a toy. And Forky, throughout the movie, is trying to jump in the trash can because he's garbage. It's fascinating to watch children as they watch this movie about purpose and being and understanding and who we are in the world, and the stories and the meaning behind these beautifully colored images is profound. That's all just to justify that I spent money on a movie ticket. But in a tipping point scene in the movie, sage words come from Woody. And it reminds us all about purpose. What he says, if you sit on a shelf for the rest of your life, you'll never find out what's out there. Woody's talking to another toy who has literally sat on a shelf her entire life and wondered and worried and fretted about the world that lived outside of that shelf. And as I sat there, I wondered about purpose and being and wondered how many of us sit on our shelves? How many of us have heard a call from God or blessedness or put away long ago the question of what we wanted to be because it didn't make sense anymore, and given up on any idea of purpose? When we feel we can't live out our purpose, it becomes debilitating, much like First Nations youth. Instead of liberating that unfulfilled potential, becomes our prison. That's why discerning one's purpose has to go hand in hand with living it out. And so maybe starting with that question of what you wanted to be when you grew up, maybe starting there, we need to better reframe the question of who God has called us to be. The God blessing upon the baptism of Jesus, the acceptance and love of our kids and all of you, regardless of what we've done for our jobs. As we think more about purpose unconnected to that and more connected to this, the purpose that pushes us off our shelves, the purpose that gives us meaning to put one foot in front of the other, the purpose that becomes liberating, that not only frees you, but frees others because of your presence. I want you to think about your purpose today. Because leaving it up to the youth assumes that we know what we're doing. And I could tell most of the youth that we don't. Day in and day out, we have no idea as to what we're doing. Because we don't think about purpose. What if we stopped ourselves before doing anything, when we went to the grocery store, when we put out our garbage, when we're cleaning the house, if we considered what purpose meant in those times, would we be doing all we're doing? You know, I watched Margaret set up the coffee and those from the membership and pastoral care get together, the gather and gab. It's easy to see purpose in that because it brings us together. Because it fills in the gap when the sermon's a little short. But purpose starts when we leave this place and we get in our car and we go home and we think about our families and our relationships and our understanding and place in the world. Purpose rests on Jesus' command to love God and love neighbor as ourselves. Purpose frees us from our job and our work lives to know that we're here for no other reason than to love. Purpose relies upon that love being lived out. So that we enable us and others to become the most fully realized versions of ourselves. And so as you journey this week, I invite you into the spiritual practice of purpose. In the moments that God has gifted you, I invite you to discern how you can be a source of love. A source of liberating love, a source of blessed love, a source of realization and love. To both yourself and to those you meet. That love is our purpose together. Amen.